Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download Stand Well Back. Listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself and Simon were joined by former Watford captain Troy Deeney. Wales' bid to reach their fourth major tournament in 8 years ended in heartbreak as Poland took the final place in Germany. What now for the Welsh and Rob Page? Meantime, after all the fanfare that came with qualification, are the Scots collapsing under the rising expectation? Is momentum heading into a tournament important? Elsewhere, Troy gives us his take on England, the Watford job and what next for him after his short stint at Forest Green Rovers. Plus, we were joined in studio by British and Commonwealth super lightweight champion Dalton Smith after knocking out Jose Zepeda last Saturday in Sheffield. Who's next? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. But let's not start with England. Let's talk about an opportunity lost for Wales last night. Heartbreak for the Welsh, who lose on penalties to Poland in their playoff final. Poland go to Germany, Simon. We'll be there, but the Welsh don't. What now for Wales? What now for Rob Page? Rob Page, post-match, downbeat.
Absolutely gutted for them. It is a horrible way to go out, isn't it? And it is a cruel game. So, really disappointed right now, but really proud of the players, and that was a message to them in the changing room after, you know, for what the campaign overall. I couldn't be more proud on the journey that they're on. So it's a horrible way to go out, but hopefully we'll learn and become stronger from having gone through the horrible experiences of tonight.
You see, Troy, he once he's on something, he just doesn't give up. He's smirking away like a Cheshire cat there. Because, oh, the Welsh. Do we really need the Welsh in Germany? Well, now you've got your wish, haven't you?
That wasn't my wish.
They're not going. But, I mean, I personally am disappointed for them. I've got many Welsh friends. John Williams, a mate of mine at ITV, Big Hearts and others, and they're not going. What do you think now for Rob Page? Do you think the Welsh will look at the situation? I mean, he signed a 4-year deal that takes him up to the World Cup finals in 2026. But he's now under a lot of pressure to do something with the Welsh, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, because of the recent successes. But I think fundamentally, with the loss of a legacy player in Gareth Bale that carried them, let's not be under any illusion. I think he's done relatively well. I mean, it's not the most sought-after job in international football, so it's not going to be an embarrassment of riches to replace him with top-class talent that will take over. So I don't really see why, he would be someone that gets replaced. I think he's done okay. I think he's done a decent job. By the standards that have gone past, yeah, I was disappointed with them in the World Cup. I didn't think they turned up. And we spoke to Ashley Williams yesterday.
Right.
Concurred with that.
Right.
That, certainly in games with England where they just didn't have any, they weren't breathing any fire. That's the one thing you thought they'd bring, and they didn't. But I think, you know, the margins, tiny margin. If they'd got qualified and then got bashed up in the European Championships and come back with no points, would that have made it any better for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's going in the right direction. I think he's all right.
I don't know about you, Troy, but I would expect Wales to qualify now for the finals of a major tournament. Mm. Qualifying should be the minimum expectation, I think. It's taken Scotland long enough. Now they've got in their groove. God knows what they'll do, but we'll come to that. Mm-hmm. But I think the Welsh should be there. But I'm thinking of Mark Hughes.
I don't think they should be there because I don't know who's their main man. So when you look at every international team that's there, you know who their main person is. Bale's gone, massive. Ramsey's still involved, but Rambo's a bit old now and his legs have gone. But you look at it, it's a very young team, and I think we're going to get on to Scotland and Northern Ireland in a bit. But I think when I look at those players, and you look at the strikers, for example, that's where my eyes always go to.
Sure.
These strikers are not Premier League level, high quality strikers that are trying to fire you into, you know, into these tournaments. So when you look at Poland, for example, they've got Lewandowski. Now, he's got to get you in and around it. Keith Amore, probably not. Dykes, probably not. And I think this is where the problem lies. There's no genuine focal point. That was a 0-0 yesterday with an XG of 0.8 for anyone to score. So for anyone who doesn't know what XG means, there was no goals expected and it went to penalties. How are you expected to go and really put pressure on teams? It's difficult. And they're a very good young team, by the way, and they'll be all right. But
yeah,
going forward, I don't expect them to be in it. I think it'll always be a tough ask for them to get into any tournament.
So it's early days for this team. Mm-hmm. But is there... I'm sorry, quite a few of the players are probably listening this morning. Is there a lack of quality at this time?
For international level, yeah, because there's levels between all of it. I think I'm a very good player. I never played international. So there's levels to everything within what we're doing. And I think when you look at all of this, these guys play for Wales and they've got a lot of caps.
Yeah.
But if any of those, would you take them out and put them in the England team?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
They probably wouldn't even make squads for the England team. So you have to be fair in our assessment. And we're not saying that they're bad players because they're not. Mm. But it's just not to the level where you're going to be in European Championships.
Does it frustrate you, Troy, you didn't have an international career?
No. I'm cool with it. I've had some good strikers in front of me. When I was trying to get there, it was like Jermaine Defoe was just about getting in the team. So it's a different kind of thing. Mm. But I look at it now, and you look at England, for example, Harry Kane, Watkins, Ivan Toney. It's a good old bunch. There's some people that are frustrated to not be there. So it's just part and parcel of the game, really. That's what it is.
We were talking about penalties, penalty shootouts. Troy, is there any right way or wrong way? I mean, you were telling Simon and myself during the break, you just can't replicate it.
No, not at all.
But you mentioned something that was very intriguing about what another nation did.
Yeah. So in the... I don't think you can replicate it. You can obviously... coaches and that will say, all right, we're going to do the walk up from the halfway line. But every player will always go, right, I'm going to put it in that top corner in training and they can do it. It's easy, there's no pressure. But when you are in the biggest moments, and I could certainly like look to myself in that FA Cup semi-final, last kick of the game, if you miss this, you're out against Wolves. We had 2-1 in the 94th minute. My penalty for that, it's the first time ever my legs were shaking. That's never happened before. I was confident, it was calm, but my legs were going, God, what's going on here? I have a little stamp, we go and we score, it's fine. But when I was looking back into the history of it, Germany, I want to say it's 2008, they did a thing before a tournament where the coaches said to the players, right, we're going to have a day of practice and everyone goes and does their penalties. And then the coaches decided, right, Jim, you play, kick it better to your right, so you're going to go to the right now.
Yeah.
And it takes all of the pressure away from you. All you have to do is go and execute. And they said, if they miss, it's the coach's fault. And I think that's a really interesting tactic. Ah. And not too many people do that because now you see all the stats. You see the keepers with a water bottle and, you know, Simon goes left and Jim goes right and they all think they know.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, if you what's your best attribute? If you hit the ball 12 yards as crisp as you can, it's very, very difficult for a goalkeeper to save it.
I mean, you were amazing. What, you took 37 penalties. You only missed four.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I mean, that is brilliant. Gary's a Leeds fan. He says, good morning to you, Troy. Troy, do you think this will affect the four Leeds players in their push for promotion, that experience last night with the Welsh? Especially, of course, Dan James.
No, I don't think so. I feel that they're in a... It's a completely different thing. When you go with the national team, I've been there when the boys come back, they have this kind of like, oh, that was good. Now let's get back to it. And I think I saw a post from Virgil van Dijk last night where he said, great to be with the national team, but now focus all on Liverpool. And I think it's two different switches completely when you're playing, especially with some of these would have been, you know, friendlies, and obviously the one with Wales wasn't. But I think the boys at Leeds, they're on a great push.
Yeah.
And they know, especially someone like Dan James, if he's not playing well, the quality of player that they have in their team, he'll fall back onto the bench and won't get involved. So it'll be a completely different thing. He'll want to get back and just get back to football as quickly as possible.
Yeah, there's Mark in Marlow. I've just tuned in, guys. I'm already enjoying the show. Troy Deeney, obviously sounding one of the best impartial, intelligent analysis, and he's going to be with you until one. Good, I'll stay with it. So many of you enjoying Troy right away. Simon, you might have had a sly snigger at the Welsh and they haven't made it. But Scotland last night, and one wonders where they're going. Scotland booed off by their own fans after losing 1-0 to Northern Ireland. It's now seven games without a win. Scotland's worst run since going 9 in 97-98. Where are they going then, this close to Germany? Here's Steve Clark.
Credit to Northern Ireland. I thought they were excellent. Played well. Good shape. Good discipline. Defended with their lives. I think we had 14 shots. 8 of them were blocked. That's good defending. So they got the goal with a deflection and defended well. We didn't find enough to get the goal to equalise or go on and win the game. It's probably fair to say we're not very good at friendlies because we don't win too many of them. So let's hope it's when it comes to the competitive stuff in June that we're ready to go. I'm sure we will be.
You said, Sammy, you like Steve Clark.
I do.
I like him as well.
Yeah.
The line there, we're not very good at friendlies. Troy had a glance at me when he heard that. I mean, after all the fanfare that came with qualification and the Scots collapsing under the brief rising expectation.
Well, if you're going to look at the run of fixtures they've had, with the exception of Northern Ireland, and say they've played Spain, France, Holland and England, and you expect Scotland to get many results out of that, then you're away with yourself. So the characterisation of it is slightly unfair about their recent form. Yeah, it's a disappointing result. You've got to give credit to Northern Ireland. It's a friendly. You don't win anything in friendlies. What you do is you galvanise the media and you create a narrative. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make any difference when you go into a competitive tournament. There's a whole different bag of a box of chocolates, isn't it? Soonest talks about the fact that there's a 10% drop-off in what he considers to be friendlies, almost exhibition games in terms of the intensity of how people play. So whilst it gives a backdrop and gives people an opportunity to hit people over the head with shortcomings or praise them unnecessarily mm-hmm. when they do something that they think is exceptional, it means nothing. And Scotland's run of form in recent games, whilst disappointing, you know, when you list it off, oh, haven't won a game in seven games.
Yeah.
Well, I don't expect them to beat Spain. I don't expect them to beat France. I don't expect them to beat the Dutch. And I didn't expect them to beat the English.
So, I mean, I'll sound naive, Troy. Right. You as a player, if you went into a friendly, would you give it as much as you would a game that's got something on it?
They're always going to give it everything they can, but they're never going to go to those 50-50s and go, right, let's go and smash this person, because they're just to protecting themselves. There's something in the back of your mind, you have to protect yourself. It's a friendly, fundamentally. I know it's not what everyone wants to hear, but it's the truth. When you do pre-season games, you never see anyone go whack, whack, whack. You're preparing for something. That was kind of a question I was going to ask you, actually. Simon.
Would it be different, though, Troy? Let me ask, yes, can we characterise the question? Would it be different for someone like Ivan Toney? Because
absolutely.
Ivan Toney hasn't established himself as an England player, so he's going to have to be all in.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But not everyone around him will be, because some of them are comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, Pickford made a mistake last night. The first thing he did was, oh, my fault, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Who's he going to get dropped for?
Yeah.
So, like, some of them are in that comfortable position of, like, you know, oh, no, I'm going to be in the squad at least. That's the minimum. Bare minimum, I'm going to be in the squad.
You were going to put something to him?
Yeah, I was going to say something. You know, when you talk about friendlies, though, Simon, I think I should be able to look at that Scotland team and say, I know who and what you are now over those friendlies. I don't expect them to win, similar to yourself, but what is your style? Are you a passing team? Are you a go-direct team? Are you a cross it? I don't really know what it is yet. I know with Northern Ireland, they sit in deep and they're going to hit you on the counter-attack, and that's what they did last night. But I look at that Scotland team now and I go, Patterson, not really. Cooper, not really. The midfield is okay. Dykes, again, not really. Do we expect Scotland to win many games? And this is not a dig at Scotland.
No, I know what you're saying.
Just a bias that's just looking at it going, that team there is meant to go and cause trouble.
Yeah, so should the Scotland fans pipe down? Don't boo them.
No, they should, because I would expect the Scottish team to turn up and have a fight with everyone. Turn up and be hardworking, resilient. You've got people like John McGinn, Scott McTominay. Their game is based on high energy, getting after people.
Yeah.
Now, I saw Patterson, the way he was defending for that first goal. That's somebody that's seen that as a bit of a friendly. That's stuff you do on a Friday, that is, in training, in an old v Young game. I don't know. He's flicking the ball with the outside of his right foot with two people up his back.
Mm.
Come on.
I mean, Scotland will score goals. I mean, Scotland scored 3 against Norway. They scored 2 against Georgia. They scored 3 against Cyprus. It's the opposition plays a big part in it.
Northern
Ireland, you know, with due respect to Northern Ireland, you'd expect Scotland in Scotland to get a result against Northern Ireland in a competitive game, But this is a friendly, and whilst it means something, and you should not diminish the fact that you've gotten beaten at home by Northern Ireland, and fair play to them, because it's a better result for them, obviously, than it is for Scotland.
Yeah.
But if you put Scotland in against lesser opposition, irrespective of the quality of their forwards, they'll find opportunities to score goals, whether it's Scott McTominay scoring for them, or it's John McGinn creating opportunities for them, or it's Lyndon Dykes getting on the end of something every now and again. But those opportunities will come more frequently against lesser sides. Mm-hmm. When you're against the top opposition, and I know that Northern Ireland is a sort of outlier on this, you'll find yourself in less opportunity to be on the ball and less opportunity to get chances.
Right, right.
So we see how they go against the Germans in the first game of the tournament. That's how I judge the Scots.
We see, that's what I'm going to say, and Simon, you've taken us perfectly to it. Momentum, how important is it? The Germans seem to have it, and Germany faced Scotland in the opening game, Troy. Mm-hmm. So Germany beat France at the weekend. Germany beat the Netherlands last night. They've got momentum. Momentum's there. We ain't got momentum. Do you need
it? Yeah, you do. Realistically, you like to be in a flow because you've got the confidence of going after it. But I think the way that the Scots will turn up first game against Germany will be, we're expected to lose here. Complete underdogs. Right, all of us, Bander brothers, let's go and give our best account of ourselves. I think if they lost, 3-0? I don't think anyone would go, I was surprised by that. But if they went out there, really put a marker down and showed, listen, this is who we are, this is what we're going to be.
Yeah.
And again, from my very inexperienced looking at a lot of Scotland games, it's like, I don't really know who you are. Are you that hustle bustle team? Are you that team that sits in and waits? At the minute, you're a little bit of everything, and that's the concern for me. If you're a little
bit, I think it's a great game for the Scots because the Germans will be bricking it. They've got a poor, they've got a decent result recently against French, but you know, like, you know, I spoke to Michael Ballack last week talking about the culture of German football, and he's saying they're soft and they've lost their fundamental belief systems, and the things that got Germany across the line, even when they weren't a better side, ain't there no more. Mm-hmm. And this is the opening game of the tournament in their own country with their expectation level, irrespective of how sort of ambivalent German fans are towards the German national team. They've got to open the tournament in their own country against a nation that they're expected to beat. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect game for Scotland to perform in. Mm-hmm. Because the Germans will be tight and they'll be uptight. And if the Scots can get anything on the Germans early on in the game, game on.
Jeez, what have you taken this morning?
Pity pill.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Here's a question for you.
Yes, sir.
If it comes to it, who starts for England, Tony or Watkins?
Tony.
Go and tell us.
I think he holds the ball up better. I think he's still got enough athleticism to cause problems running deep. I think his link-up play is excellent. I think Ollie, and it's going to sound negative, but I promise you it's not. He's having a fantastic season. But he's a winger trying to be a striker. And that's just who he is. He's very good at being a striker. But whenever Ivan steps up, when he took that penalty last night, did you think he was going to miss ever? I didn't.
That's a good point.
Goal. Whenever Ollie runs through 1v1 for Villa, I've done many a game this season, I'm still not convinced he's going to score. I think he will score eventually. If you give him 3-4 shots a game, he'll score. But I think Ivan just has that like borderline arrogance about him that makes me go, right, stick Ivan in. And last night I thought he was excellent personally. And like Simon said earlier, it meant a lot to him. And you could see that.
Should he take the two of them?
I think so. And I think this is going to sound like I'm on a wind-up, but I'm really not. If Marcus doesn't step up much more,
Rashford,
I'd leave Rashford out. And I'd take Ollie. And I'd because Ollie can play in that position anyway. That's where he came from at Brentford and started at Villa doing it. So I would, if Marcus Rashford doesn't step up, I would look at leaving Marcus at home and putting Ollie Watkins in there. I don't know if that's a wild take.
I literally have just written a column about that for the Mail tomorrow, and literally about that. Because I think the question is abounds. Maybe you'll turn into the famous Southgate misplaced loyalty, and that's why Rashford will get the gig ahead of other people. But in the question of Ollie Watkins, I'm an Ollie Watkins fan. I liked him at Brentford, and I think he's done really well at Villa. But I think Tony's a better player in the position that you want Tony to be in. I think Tony's a better player, and I would go Tony all day.
So the two of you go with that. If it comes to two from three, Rashford stays here.
It would be, yeah. Unless he has an unbelievable back end to the season, but then there's a little part of me that says, if that's all we have to do, then there's quite a few people that are going to be in contention, aren't they? If we've only got to look at these next 10 games and say that's what we're going to base the season on. I don't think... If last season, Marcus was fantastic for Man United, but didn't really get much of a look in for England. I think now you're probably looking at it going, he's not been fantastic for Man United, so why does he get a look in for England?
Do you take Kobbie Mainoo?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think our midfield is as strong as we like to believe, especially in that eight position. He does a good job. He's energetic. He's youthful. But we have to be careful. He's a young man at the same time.
Yeah.
And I saw yesterday, and I normally watch the game, but I don't have the sound on. But then I saw at halftime, I think it was Joe Cole.
You don't have the sound on?
No, because you hear what the commentator says and then you start to believe what the commentator says. So I like to watch the game just of my own accord and try and watch it and figure it out myself. So then when I was, I saw it at halftime, I saw Joe Cole was talking about Mainoo. So I thought, let me put it on because I didn't quite understand. And they were like, but look at his reaction when he gives the ball away. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. Well, it's a great reaction, fair play.
Well, don't give the
but you actually gave the ball away with no one around you. So
right.
We get into this weird place where we start trying to build up young players, as we should, but we give them praise. It's unnecessary. That's what he's in the team to do, rat around, get after the ball. But actually, at that level, keep the ball. Give the ball to your Foden's, give the ball to Bellingham and let them go and produce. And that's, you know, I didn't see anything that said he shouldn't go, but I didn't see anything that was like he has to be a star in my opinion.
So is Kobbie on the plane?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, Lee and Sturbridge, Simon. Simon, how is Tony better? The stats just don't add up.
What's
Watkins
that?
Watkins doesn't take penalties. Luis does. I mean,
Aston Villa are a better side than Brentford but on form at this moment in time. They're higher up the league and they've got better players than Brentford. As a matter of course, Ivan Toney's been out for 9 months. I think Ivan Toney's goal scoring record is pretty good. And I think his all round play and the handful that he is to the opposition, not just what he does, it's what he allows other people to do as a result of his presence on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think Tony, in all of those boxes, ticks the box better than Ollie Watkins does.
It's brilliant as well, though, isn't it? Because everyone will throw a stat in.
Yeah.
Stats help when you want to make the argument for you. But actually, what we're talking about is the intangibles of what we can see, the eye test. But now it's, oh, his stats this season are better. Okay, well, let's look at the season before.
Yeah,
and if you want to go the season before when Ivan was in the Champions
League. Well, statistics are the beginning of a conversation, not the end of it.
Yeah.
There's a message there. Even if Rashford doesn't step up, he should still go ahead of Watkins. On his day, he's a world beater. Watkins, on his day, is a decent striker.
Okay. Well, again, you can't argue with opinion. That's someone's opinion.
I don't
think he's a world beater. He's very good.
Tony come back from this band smelling of roses. He can do no wrong. Both of you are putting him up there.
In your eyes, he could end up being
player of the tournament.
Ivan Toney came back with a debt to his football club, and I was appalled at the time by some of the ridiculous glad handing and backslapping by people like Sky and Brentford going welcoming back our old conquering hero. You got yourself banned. And you brought your club into disrepute and you left your club in an invidious position. So let's stop the hero celebration. But I knew that when he came back, he would grasp the nettle and that he would continue where he did before, in the same way that Cantona and other players that have experienced adversity in their lives come back with the right attitude to prove a point. And of course, he's got a move on the cards.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in gear. And he's a good bloody player.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
You agree with everything he's saying here?
No, I do too. I know Ivan, so I've got to be careful not to portray confidences, but I know how much work he put in and I know what he did in that time to work on himself. But like I said to him personally, listen, you got the best salesman in the world because somehow you've got away and got better. That very rarely happens in life. But when go back to what the guy said there to yourself, when you're talking about Rashford, we always go, on his day, he could. Marcus isn't 22 anymore. He's now meant to be. He's earning, again, I hate putting the money situation to, because people go, you earn this, you should deliver that. And I get it to a point, but he's Man United's top earner. He's not been Man United's best performer this year. He's not been the best performer for England of late. Yet we go, oh, but that one time we hit that really good goal against Man City, now he should be, because he can deliver that. Okay, but if we're going to work on that situation, then we'll just pick all the best statistical players we've got and never pick a team that's actually meant to function.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
You dipped your toe in the water at Forest Green. And after 29 days there, Troy, we know what happened.
Yeah.
You decided to speak out and Dale Vince decided to end it. This was Vince, the owner.
I read some of what Troy said after that game. I didn't hear it, but I read it and I thought it was wrong, very wrong. He did later apologise on Sky, so I think he knows it was wrong. But it was definitely a factor, that and our results, not our performances so much, because our performances, apart from that game, had been good. And, you know, he also had a disciplinary yesterday with the FA. They banned him before games for, I think it was abusive and violent language towards officials when he gets sent off against, when we played Swindon. And that was a new factor, you know, that kind of thing had happened. So really, it was just a bundle of things. We haven't got a lot of time left, obviously, to save our season. And yesterday I felt that it was better to make the decision sooner than rather later, because I didn't think that this was going to work, given those things.
So it was Dale Vince. He didn't hang around. He didn't mince his words, Troy.
Yeah.
You said you weren't maybe ready for it.
Yeah.
Do you think you can still convince owners out there, even like him, mm-hmm. that you'd be ready for it now?
Well, it's never really about convincing owners. An owner will have an opinion on what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, and it's whether you fit that mould. Yeah, the idea of dropping, because remember, I was playing in the Championship the year, literally last year. So the reason to drop to Forest Green was to play, but to also get a hand in the coaching, learn, do it the right way. So if I were going to go into media full time, I'm not just going to come on and go, right, I'm going to get on the best show with you guys, I'm going to do this every single week and I'm great. You've got to dip your toe in and learn the ropes and make your mistakes. You know, he's the owner, he makes a decision. I would disagree with that. I think there's certain things, and Simon could allude to this as well. I think you there's certain things you have to do to change culture, and it's a word I hate, but it's a word that gets used a lot. You have to, when you have a short turn around in, like I did. Let's talk specifically to Forest Green. They lost 31 games the year before in League One, not 10, 11, 31 games. Then under Dave Horsman, try to change it, the style of play, all these different things, a lot of young players, and they continue to lose. So when we went in, it was on 46 losses in a 17-month spell. So what should I do? Come in and be nice and try and change it slowly, gradually. Don't have that luxury. Now, granted, what I said out publicly wasn't the way you should do it.
You called out some players, did you?
Yeah, of course, but I already spoke to those players first. So anyone who knows me, I'm not going to say something to you here now and then run behind your back and say something completely different. I will say everything to the players as well. It should have stayed in the dressing room. That is something I absolutely should not have done, and I learned from it, absolutely. The brilliant part from it is what this is the bit that no one really looks at now is the director of football's gone. The head of transfers has gone. So the people that are in the position to help you, are supposed to help me, guide me, especially the new role, they've all been sacked. Where are
what
they
does
now?
That tell us?
Yeah,
right.
So
like,
you know, the club's in a little bit of a disarray, and Dale would admit that they've made mistakes over the past 18 months and they're trying to fix it. And I wish Dale, Asif and the team there all the best. I don't have any hard feelings. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And it's not made me go, oh, I wasn't good at that, because I know what we did and I know what we can deliver. But obviously there's a lot more work to be done on my side. Take accountability first before you blame anyone else.
If you'd been Dale Vince, Simon, would you pull the plug and try?
Yes.
Because he spoke publicly?
Well, I think there's a sort of Mark Twain expression, isn't
it? About lack of effort.
Well, you know, let people think you don't know anything. Don't open your mouth and prove it to them. Mm-hmm. The old expression, to let people think you're stupid, don't open your mouth and prove it, right? And I think that in that moment, I think common sense departed.
Yeah.
And a position of frustration and irritation and a belief system that somehow this will make it better. And somehow I get something off my chest and things will be better as a result of it. But that should have been baked in and priced into the decision-making process that Dell had in the first place, which was I've got an inexperienced manager working alongside me that's morphing from a player into a manager that didn't ask for this job. It was offered to him as a result of circumstances. So I've got to make sure that I'm pretty close to him and that any frustrations he's got, he says them to me. And anytime he wants to go off at the mouth and let it go and really have a go at something, then we can do that between ourselves,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
not in the media. And absolutely. That would mean that the to some extent, either Troy doesn't listen to what's being said to him or the owner didn't have that relationship knowing that he'd put in an inexperienced manager. So everyone's complicit in that situation. Mm-hmm. He's complicit for not engaging his brain rather than his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner's complicit by almost not understanding what he's got on his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got somebody... look at Troy Deeney. Look at what he says. Mm-hmm. Look at what he does. People say that they'll have admiration for him criticising Arsenal. Other people will say, who are you? Bang average middle-tier Premier League footballer playing for Watford talking about Arsenal. I'm not saying that's what people could say. So with that in mind, so you know that. So when you're looking at...
They wouldn't call me bang average, but I get what you mean.
I'm joking. Take aside that comment. Yeah, right? I'm Dale Vince, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be Dale Vince because I would own a proper football club. I don't think Forest Green Rovers is a proper football club.
That's
I think
not fair.
Palace was a forward-looking football club. I wanted them in the Premier League. They were in the Premier League. They were a top championship side. So different aspirations. So when you're asking me to say what I'd do with Dale, would I have given my first opportunity to a manager to Troy at Palace? No, because of the scale of the club, right? Yeah. So now you're asking me to inhabit a different position. So that's why I qualified a point between Forest Green Rovers and Palace. But the other point of it is that I would know with Troy, I'm taking a punt here.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is not experienced. They don't really understand the landscape of what management involves. Can they manage up? That's going to be one of their problems. Mm-hmm. Are they going to say things that ultimately that they've been able to say as a player and possibly might think as a player that they can't now say as a manager? Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to pull this fellow as close as I possibly can to me and I'm going to go, right, you use me. When you want to call these whatever they are out, right, you tell me about it. And we'll deal with it and we'll fix it.
Right.
That's what I would have done.
And you get that now, Troy.
Absolutely.
Do you think it'll affect you further down the line, Troy, with a prospective owner who's saying, Troy Deeney, yeah, fancy him?
Yeah, no, of course it will. Of course it will. But it's like anything. Yeah, of course it will. You have to earn respect. Respect is never... The thing is, you can do 1,000 things right. One bad thing always stays in everyone's memory. So it's about realigning. But like I said, and I will be adamant with this, I didn't go into Forest Green saying, I want the job. That was never... It was a case of going in and learning, doing my badges... Doing all of that fun stuff and understanding from what it takes at the lower level. I was in League Two when I was 19. I haven't done that again since. So I don't know what that landscape looks like. I don't know what the players think. So, right, let's get in there. I know what Premier League players think because I was doing that 2 years ago. I know what Championship players think because I was doing that last year. I know how those clubs work. But where is my start point realistically? Probably got to be in and around those areas. So get in, learn, get your hands dirty and figure it out. And it just didn't work out.
Understood. If a manager had called you out publicly, when you were a player, Deeney.
Well, the obvious thing is, and I think you said this before.
Would you have taken it?
I never put you in that position that you could, because what I'm talking about is effort. It's not about your technical ability. It's not about how good you played the position. Effort, desire to be on time for work.
You've never not lifted a leg. You've always given 100%
every time. Of course it is. It's the best job in the world. It's the best job in the world. Even for this, was I on time for this?
You were.
Well, I was early.
You were early.
Did we have chats yesterday about
it? I get it, mate. I was at that game that you played in.
Yeah.
For Forest Green against Colchester.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran it.
Yeah.
And you were brilliant. You won 5-0, I think.
Yep.
And I could see there were moments of frustration within you, even though you were coasting through it, that they weren't thinking as quickly as you.
No, but it's not even about thinking as quickly. It's about, and I'd be interested to get both your points on this. It's about understanding where they are in life, right? So let's keep it to a purely, we all play football because we love it and we're happy to be good at it. But the fundamental is about finances, right? So you want to work to earn a living, to live the rest of your life as comfortably as possible. The money is not there in League Two that you can retire at the end of it. But you have the ability to further yourself by putting more into it.
Yes, yeah.
Because the difference between League Two and League One is not great in terms of players. They're close. There's a massive step up to the top end of League One into the lower end of the Championship, which you may reach, you may not reach. But then there's an even bigger reach in the Championship. And then you go into the astronomical reach, which these players are probably not going to reach at this moment in time, is the Premier League. The ones who can afford to retire, living really comfortably, are in the Premier League. Everybody else Championship has to think, right, I've got to maximise this potential. I have to maximise playing as long as possible.
Yeah.
If you're 27, 28 years old playing in League Two, it's because you're not applying yourself the right way.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
And we are thrilled to welcome to the studio here in the 17th floor of the news building. The three of us becomes the four of us because entering the fray is British and Commonwealth super lightweight champion Dalton Smith. Dalton, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, boys. You know, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure. First time here and yeah, looking forward to it.
You have nothing to worry about. It is great to have you on board. And Dalton, let's talk what you are doing. You are going places. Of that, there is no doubt. Anyone with a record of 16-0 and 12 of them KOs, you're doing the business. You took care of business by knocking out Jose Zepeda in round 5 in Sheffield last Saturday. How was it, the experience, the fight? How was it for you?
Yeah, it was massive. You know, great performance. I needed that to, you know, step up the level, stamp my name down in the, you know, the division. And for me, what's in one of the most competitive divisions. So, you know, big performance in my hometown, you know, great atmosphere and, you know, a great finish to top it off.
I mean, I'm sitting looking at him, Troy. He was fighting 4 days ago, not a mark on you.
Nah, so, he's ready to go, isn't he? Don't?
Yeah, he makes a change. I usually come out with a few cuts and stuff, so he's probably the most dangerous man I've been in with, and you know, the less damage I've took, so yeah. I'm happy with that.
I shouldn't say to you, mention this, Dalton, but I'm going to. I mentioned to Simon, Dalton Smith's joining us. You said, great, looking forward to that. I mean, you are upbeat about what this man may end up achieving. He's doing all right so far, Simon.
Yeah, I'm upbeat about this division. I'm upbeat about the various, you know, British participation in it and the opportunities that are there. You know, obviously, I'm very close with Ben Shalom at times, and I've watched Adam Azim, and Adam Azim is at times. Adam Azim will watch his progress, and the noise has been a little bit about Adam and not about Dalton, whereas Dalton's performances have been probably more significant, and ultimately, with the result that he's got against a world-recognised fighter in Jose Zepeda, it becomes a different sort of noise. Everybody knows that watches, follows boxing with any degree of understanding, knows that Dalton Smith is a serious contender for opportunities in the future. And a lot of noise has been made about Adam, and rightly so. And it's good noise because you want British fighters to be built up. But we're now at a stage where potentially these two boys are on a collision course. And it's an interesting one because if I'm Adam Azim's manager, I'm not sure that I would want to take this fight just yet.
Would you be ready for him now, Dom?
He's ready for him, yeah.
Of course, 100% I'm ready, and I think I proved that on Saturday night.
Okay. Eddie Hearn's been interesting on this. He echoes that. Maybe it's Azim and Ben Shalom who'd be worried. This was Hearn.
Listen, I haven't got too much to say to Adam Azim other than I dare you to fight Dalton Smith. The WBC silver champion, the British Boxing Board of Control have ordered it. The European title have ordered it, your belt. There is no reason that you won't fight this man other than he's too good. But what we want to do is we want to chase the world championship. But we will drop back down the levels to fight Adam Azim if we have to give Sheffield a big fight, okay? The levels, 3 or 4 levels, but it's okay. Listen, with all due respect, Adam Azim, tremendous fighter. Right now, couldn't lace this man's boots. We're going for the world championship. Get out of the way. We're coming through. Bosh.
Bosh. How did you feel standing beside him when he was coming out of that?
You know, I wouldn't expect anything less from Eddie. You know, that's why he's one of the best promoters in the world. And it, you know, when he's got confidence in one of his fighters, he will speak for them. And you know, that's what Eddie does. You know, like I said, I'm not one to, you know, talk crap. You know, I like to be, you know, when this fighters get in there, do my fighting in the ring. But of course, after a performance like that and all the talk and the hype around me and Adam Azim, of course, people want answers.
Well, right. I mean, Eddie's saying Azim couldn't lace your boots. Could he?
There's one way to find out, and that's to fight, isn't it?
What do you think? You know Adam Azim.
I don't think Ben Shalom. I don't think that you fight the way Eddie Hearn suggests you fight. You do what you want to do when you think it's right for you to do it. So if there is a situation where one fighter's had 16 fights and is more experienced, one's 21 and one's 27, one's had 11, there is a probability that one's going to have more opportunity to develop their craft better. So if I'm Adam Azim, this is me speaking and not Ben Shalom or Adam Azim, I'm looking at it going, I'll get to you. I'm the European champion, you're the British champion, right? And Eddie Hearn's doing his job. He's doing precisely what he should do. He's creating a narrative. You know, I dare you. Okay, I'm going to run my business the way you want me to. No, I'm going to run my business, if I'm Ben Shalom or Adam Azim, the way I want to. And I'll get to you when I get to you. And if I feel that I need another fight in between then and then, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And you'll keep, in the same way that Fraser Clark had to take what he feels is an indignation about the situation with Fabio Wardley. He's got to Fabio Wardley now. He's got his fight now. He had two more fights that got experience. Now, with due respect to Dalton is, in my view, a slightly more experienced and more polished fighter than Adam Azim is. But he's had 16 fights. He's had five fights more.
Yeah.
He's also 6 years older and 6 years wiser. And that's not me making an excuse for Adam. There's also a flip side to me that wants to see the best fighters fight the best. Mm-hmm. And if you're good enough, you're ready. So Adam thinks he's good enough, but it's also about matchmaking. Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn in different guises will sit here in a different conversation when it suits their narrative and say, well, I'll get my fighter ready and he'll beat this fella when he's the best version of him. So it's all about balance.
Yeah.
It's all about balance.
I get it. I mean, if it's not Azim, who would you fancy shaping up to next on?
Of course, it is, the bigger the fights, that's what I want to be a part of. And, you know, I've said I want to get to the end of my career. I want all the traditional belts. I've got the English, I've won the British, Commonwealth. The only two I need to win now is a European and a world title. So, you know, of course, it'd be nice to win the European. Adam Azim's a champion. That's why it makes sense there. But, of course, we need an answer whether, you know, Adam's going to take the fight or vacate. Like I say, it's nothing personal between me and Adam. Boxing's a business. And like you say, if I want the European title, Adam's the champion. But you can't sit there and be like, and not give us no answers. You either take the fight or you vacate the title. I agree. You know, Adam needs more fights. It's not the right time for him right now. And like I say, I don't want to speak and be disrespectful on Adam because he's shown me respect and he's a respectful guy. But boxing's a business, and
for sure,
when there's something there, what I want to win and go out and achieve,
yeah,
you've got to be outspoken about it.
The world's most dangerous download, Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.